time back there as we unfold God's word for us here this morning. Let us begin in prayer. Lord God, we give you thanks for the blessed gift of your words before us. We pray you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to understand these words, and most importantly, hearts to receive the gift of your word within our hearts this day. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Among the many things, outcomes, expectations that I have for corporate worship, there are two which stand out. The first is that as a service, that the elements, the content, works together. So for instance, if like today we're studying the temptation of Jesus, we're in the season of Lent and we're in this contemplative, penitent season and kind of mindset and frame of mind, we work really hard to put a service together that kind of has all of those elements pointing us in the same direction. Similarly then, one of my other outcomes and expectations for worship is that then when we come to worship, we pay attention. Now, that's harder to do than it sounds, especially if you're a pastor, because we're always thinking and we're tempted to think, well, what's coming up next? Where do I need to stand? You know, I've got to hoist this big old lectern out before I preach, and you know, who's going to be doing the prayer and all of this stuff. And so it's probably harder for Pastor Corey and I to get past this one, to actually pay attention to what's happening in worship. But we do our best, and that's why you oftentimes see us praying over here, preparing, just a reminder that we too are worshiping the Lord our God. Well, today, it came together for me. Finally, maybe. These two things. The worship service that has kind of similar content, and I actually found myself paying attention. I'd encourage you to turn back to page 2 in the prayer of the day, which fits, by the way, with our gospel text. We prayed, Lord God, our strength, and then we proclaimed the reality of the battle in which we live. The battle of good and evil rages within and around us, and our ancient foe tempts us with his deceits and empty promises. And because of that, we prayed, keep us steadfast in your word. Well, you remembered that prayer, of course, as I read this text. And you thought to yourself, wow, those really go well together. Here we are today talking about Jesus and his temptation. This text came alive for me again this week. You know, I've preached this text many times throughout my history as a pastor. And every time, no matter when I go to God's Word, no matter how many times I've read it and studied it and preached it, every time something new pops out. Here are a few of the things that popped out to me this time. I'll share them with you. First, when Jesus is making his way to the wilderness, we are reminded that this was by God's hand. Jesus, says our text, full of the Holy Spirit. He had been empowered at his baptism. We're going to celebrate baptism today for Lillian, and she will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so as Jesus, in the same way, received the gift of the Holy Spirit at his baptism, now full of the Holy Spirit, he left the Jordan where he was baptized and was, hear the verb, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Sometimes as Christians, we think that God only leads us beside still waters and into green pastures. But the reality is that there are times in life where God leads us into the wilderness. The wilderness is this place where there is no food, the sun bakes down on you, There's no rest or cover. I happened to be at the baptismal side of Jesus this last summer in Jordan. And as I was at the Jordan River, I took a moment to pause and look out over the surroundings. And you think you live in a desert? Guess what? The desert there, now the Jordanian desert, as I looked out upon that place, I thought to myself, 40 days? I couldn't last 40 minutes. And yet, the Holy Spirit was leading Jesus there. Now, we want to be careful to say that the Holy Spirit is not leading Jesus into temptation. Some who have translated the Bible this way, but it's not true. James reminds us that it's not into temptation Jesus is led, because when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So we are not led into temptation. In fact, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. That means to protect us from evil and the evil one. But into the wilderness is something God does regularly with his people. Jeremiah, the prophet, who also was led into the wilderness, talks about Israel. They did not ask, where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and ravines, a land of drought and utter darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives. This is Jeremiah's perspective on the desert, on the wilderness experience. And so God leads us sometimes into the wilderness. Many of you know I've been struggling with vertigo. Still, this is like the third month that I'm struggling with this vertigo. And it's benign. It's not harmful to me. But it sure is frustrating. When I was visiting California last week, my brother said to me, Steve, God doesn't want you here. God doesn't want you to have vertigo. And I said to him, how do you know? He quoted some promises and gave me some Christian platitudes, to which I said, you know, perhaps God does want me here. Perhaps God has even himself led me here. Because when I'm in this position of having to go through this difficult time, I lean on him more. I trust in him more. I depend on him more. And in fact, there are times where God leads us into these barren wilderness desert experiences. The key is to glean, to get out of this experience everything God wants me to learn. I mean, God did this a lot. He led his people into the wilderness. He led individuals into the wilderness. And so God leads now Jesus into the wilderness. If God could lead Jesus into the wilderness, I sure do believe he could lead me into the wilderness. Come on now. Jesus enters into the wilderness then, full of the Holy Spirit, where Satan tempts him. But listen to this. This really popped for me this time when I read it this week. Where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. I wasn't thinking in those terms. When was Jesus tempted? I'll read it again. For 40 days he was tempted. So, when was Jesus tempted? Every day in the wilderness, Jesus was tempted. Not just at the end. This is the account of the end of the time together with Satan in the wilderness. But the reality is that every single day, Jesus was tempted. And in three ways, I believe. The first is according to his physical needs. See, I think the devil tempted Jesus at the point where he had the most need. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. For 40 days, I believe, every day, Jesus was tempted with hunger. Number two, Jesus was tempted with possessions and power, not just physical needs. The devil said to him, I will give you all the authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus, in the third way, was tempted with pride. Satan said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, You are the Son of God. The angels will attend to you. And as I read these temptations again, I thought to myself, isn't this exactly where Jesus tempts us? Well, at least me. In the area of physical needs, always temptation. In the area of possessions or power, I'm always tempted. In the area of pride, those are areas I believe we are susceptible to temptation. And so as we think about this text, we remember God led Jesus into the wilderness, that Satan tempted and Jesus attacked. This was the response of Jesus to the temptation here of the devil. Sometimes we like to think, well, Jesus just, he took a defensive position against the enemy. But that's not true at all. Jesus took an offensive position against the enemy. Go ahead and look at your scriptures there. What does Jesus do? He picks up the sword of the Spirit, as Paul calls it, the scriptures. If you read Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God, that's what we're encouraged to put on as the followers of Jesus. Well, guess what? The only offensive weapon in that whole chapter is what? The sword of the Spirit. Helmet of salvation, that's defensive. The shield of faith, that's defensive. The shoes are defensive. All of the other armor is defensive except for what? The sword of the Spirit. And so Jesus wields that sword against the enemy. Hebrews 4:2, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Jesus pulls this sucker out and says, it is written, it is written, it is written, and fights off the enemy. Friends, nothing's changed. We are still tempted. And as we prayed, God, help us to keep your word to thwart the enemy. Here's the problem, however, I see in Christendom today. We have the sword, but we conveniently keep it in its sheath. I've got my sword. See? Here's my sword. But it's not any good. We take the edge off when it's in the sheath. What do we have to do? We have to wield it against the enemy. And so when we're tempted in the area of possessions or pride or physical needs, we take out God's word and say, it is written, and attack the enemy. That's what Jesus did. Lastly, then, God led, Satan tempted, Jesus attacked, he fought this battle, and he won for you. What did he win? Well, first off, Jesus won in conquering temptation. There is one who was created way back in Genesis chapter 3. Maybe you remember his name, Adam. And Adam was in the garden. God said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eat of all the other fruit except for this one. And yet, when tempted, by whom, by the way? Satan. What happened? He gave in to that temptation. But here we have a second chance in the person and work of Jesus. Paul, through the book of Romans, says it this way, for just as though the disobedience of one man, or through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. It's a comparison. Jesus is sometimes called the new Adam. And so Adam sinned, and now Jesus has conquered sin. And in fact, every time God's people went into the wilderness, they sinned. Having come out of Egypt, Israel sinned. They built other gods in front of the Lord our God. And so we win when Jesus is tempted because he conquers temptation. We also win when we allow God to lead us, wherever that may be. Will God lead you into the wilderness? I guarantee you, at some time in your life, he will. Will God lead you beside still waters and in green pastures? I also guarantee you, he will. Paul says to the church at Corinth, "But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere." No matter where we are, in the desert, beside still waters, we win when we allow God to lead us. And lastly, we win when we are faithful to God's word. Jesus was faithful to God's word. The writer of Acts, we believe it's Luke, writes, "Now I commit you to God and to the world of his grace, and into the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." When we are led by God's Spirit, when we allow ourselves to be faithful to God's word, we win. And so this story reminds us, this history, that God led, that Satan tempted and Jesus attacked, and because he fought and won, we too win. And so we can then pray with boldness. Let's pray it again together. Turn to page 2 at the bottom, our prayer of the day. With conviction and faith, we pray, "Lord God, our strength, the battle of good and evil rages within and around us, and our ancient foe tempts us with his deceits and empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fail, face us again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen and amen." Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.